And that means it's time for History Matters with the one, the only Scott Washington. How are you?
Well, good. You know, after I heard The Land Down Under, I was about to break into the Australian accent, crikey. But then we have the wonderful Masterpiece Theater theme. And
it always switches right back to the Queen's English all right.
But who would have thought this week we would be talking about things like the Star Spangled Banner and revisiting this and understanding its context, which I think is fascinating that we're actually talking about history almost every week in the news. And this is another case, or in the case of hurricane relief, we're all catching on to the fact that actually the people in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands are, our United States citizens with all the rights that everyone else has here in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, in the Greater Triad, or anywhere in the world. You are listening to WCHL streamed live. These are U.S. citizens in these places, which is a really important fact, and it's a humanitarian crisis with a double whammy, the 1-2 blow of those hurricanes.
Yep.
And thankfully, wiser heads are starting to realize that we need to send people, because there's 100,000 people in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Mm-hmm. There are 3.5 million plus in Puerto Rico. And these are our fellow citizens that are in crucial need.
This is something that's occurred to me, and we've had a lot of conversations with people about and around Puerto Rico over the last few days on the air, and a lot of good things have been said. But one thing that's occurred to me that I don't think has gotten said on our air, at least, is we can talk about the 3.5 million people get hit by a Category 5 hurricane. This is a humanitarian crisis on the level, or close to on the level, of what happened in New Orleans and Hurricane Katrina. And you remember back 12 years ago now, when Katrina hit, the response from the federal government was extremely slow. There was a lot of patting each other on the back and saying, we're doing great job. And then later it began to dawn on everyone that, in fact, no, we weren't doing a great job at all. But they were talking about it. For all of the criticism that came down of the Bush administration and the way that they handled the response to Hurricane Katrina, at no point during that period was the public or governmental focus off of New Orleans. Now, the entire week that the hurricane was actually hitting Puerto Rico, everyone was talking about health care. Now everyone is talking about tax reform. And in the White House, you've got a guy who's still apparently picking up the phone and calling Jerry Jones a whole bunch of times to make sure that his players stand up for the national anthem. Right. And it's only now, more than a week later, that we're, oh crap, we've got to talk about this Puerto Rico thing. And people are finally starting to get around to it. And that's not just people in Congress and people in government. It's the way the media is covering it, and the media is reacting to what Americans want to be talking about. We don't want to talk about Puerto Rico. We want to talk about health care and taxes and NFL protests. And all of those things are important issues. The Puerto Rican people are getting thrown under the bus, essentially, which is a tragedy.
Absolutely. And I think this goes to the heart of when we're studying history, and you know, you're delving into archives for the 18th century or the 19th, but as we've discussed, even recently, how history is being affected much more swiftly by social media. And in this case, that's affecting change in a significant way. People are just like we said about the Confederate monuments, that suddenly there was a sea change within a course of 1 week where people said, why are we having monuments to people who fought against the United States of America, where we live and we love? And it's the same way with that, that's happening. We're seeing that sea change beginning to happen with Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Today at the press conference, there were numerous questions as people said, wait a minute, you know, despite all of the attention being taken away about the Star-Spangled Banner, the real question is, there's a humanitarian crisis. What are you doing about it? And I think that is astonishing. And you're absolutely right that now there is a faster response time. It is not just saying, oh, we may be a little late, but that media attention is becoming refocused simply because of that heightened awareness across social media platforms as to what's going on. The pictures coming out, the stories coming out, the pleas for help.
Yeah. Social media is the way that social media is affecting the way that people talk about these issues is really interesting. It's so often said that newspapers or journalism is the first draft of history. But man, we have never seen the first draft of history. Now we're seeing the first draft of history.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And the horribly misspelled way that people tweet out about it.
Well, I mean, with these hurricanes, if they did nothing else, is they gave us all a front row seat to trying to figure out a little bit more about the Caribbean and all the different players which have been in there for centuries, between the French and the English and the Spanish and the sordid alliances that developed, how piracy came out of that region as people were fighting these proxy wars for these great powers. So when they came to peace and said, well, you're out of a job, all these very experienced fighters said, well, actually, this is what we know how to do best, so we're going to do it. In fact, this week, there was even a story about a fellow who was a pirate who came out of Barbados, and it was on September 27th, 1718, Colonel William Rhett captured the so-called gentleman pirate Stede Bonnet after a six-hour battle near the headland of the Cape Fear River.
You know, I only know Stede Bonnet from the Assassin's Creed video game series.
Well, maybe now we know where that
Now
that
we
name
know where it
from.
Came from, yeah.
This guy was a successful planner. Suddenly in 1717, he just decides he's going to be a pirate.
Yep.
And and takes up a ship and goes sailing. I mean, there's something about the audaciousness of this, and goes up and down the East Coast.
Yeah.
Even Blackbeard, he encounters him and becomes like a virtual prisoner because Blackbeard says, you're not a pirate.
You're not a pirate.
Eventually escapes. He pleads for clemency, and he's granted it. Then he finds that Blackbeard has actually abandoned his ship, and he says, oh, it's still there?
It's still
there. I love this.
Mine.
And that's when he's captured and eventually is executed several months later. But it was a fascinating aspect to realize that there is this connection even with the Caribbean, as convoluted as all these different alliances and different islands. But there are really vital American interests. In fact, I called up one of the local TV stations because they were reporting. They said, well, that hurricane hasn't reached U.S. territory. And I said, okay, it's hitting the U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico. That is U.S. territory.
That is, in fact, U.S. territory.
That is, actually. And those are U.S. citizens on those islands that are very much so I said, please correct your reporting. But it's good to find out about the history and realize that this is not only history matters, but as we have seen in recent times, understanding that history and what it means. The Star-Spangled Banner is another great example, with those words composed. Francis Henry writes
Francis
those.
Scott Key.
Francis Scott Key. Francis Henry is another fellow.
Another
character of history.
Yes.
Hillsborough history. Francis Scott Key. And but those become eventually what we call the national anthem. But whether or not you have to stand for the national anthem has become a source of dispute, because of course we have those first 10 amendments. And what a great week, because September 25th, which was Monday, September 25th, 1789.
First Amendment Day on campus, because...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Because this is when amendments were passed.
Yep.
And just to kind of cast back, when the Constitution is formed, it's passed, it goes, it's a vanilla version, just has legislative, executive, judicial. It goes out to the states, and miraculously, state after state ratifies it, some with amendments, some without, about half and half. But the only two holdouts are North Carolina and Rhode Island. And in the summer of 1788, North Carolina makes history by being the only state to actually vote to postpone ratifying the Constitution until provisions are made for adding a Bill of Rights. And that's what propels Congress, when it's formed under the new Constitution 6 months later, to take up the issue, because technically North Carolina is not part of the nation. That's kind of an important thing. The phrase the United States has a better ring than, well, some of the United States,
yeah. And North Carolina not being in the country is a little bit significant, because now you've got this split between South Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. You can't get from one to the other, because North Carolina at this point includes Tennessee.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
To the chagrin of some people in Tennessee, but you know, it
fourth
still
largest
does.
State in population, second largest constitutional convention. What happens here was really significant. that summer of 1789 when Congress takes up the issue. And Madison is suggested and says we have to address it. And in part, he says, because of these two states.
Yep.
But this is also, there's a general groundswell. But he begins to propose amendments, sticking it in here and there. And it's Roger Sherman, thank goodness, from Connecticut, who says, oh, no, no,
yes,
we are not going to reopen the Constitution. That was hard enough to get. No, we're going to put on any amendments afterwards. And that's why the amendments
yep.
come afterwards. But on September 25th, 1789, is when 12 amendments were passed by Congress, sent out to the states for ratification. Process had never been tested before.
Yep.
And 10 of 12, which get enough votes, 2 years later, when Virginia ratifies it, become the ones we know
yep.
as the Bill of Rights, which
yeah.
is really cool.
Durham, which I'm actually talking about this week in my
yes.
American government
oh,
class.
Is that right?
It's Civil
oh,
Liberties
my gosh.
Week. Yeah, it just so
well,
happens
there we go.
To be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, what's even better is that Durham County Public Library,
mm-hmm.
The only one that I am aware of in the nation, is actually focusing on a project they do every 2 or 3 years where they pick some book or literature to read as countywide and encourage all participation.
Like that.
This year they decided to pick the U.S. Constitution.
The U.S. Constitution, that's right,
so,
yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that. In fact, I'm going to be presenting something at the Carolina Durham Arts Council
oh, nice.
Theater about this very subject and North Carolina's connection with it. So it's
awesome.
Really kind of cool history. But I will say, in addition to we've talked about Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands and how we need to, and thankfully there is now I think our armed forces are getting involved. And
yes.
A three-star general on the ground now. There's another island that is also in need of some
Carnival
help.
I forget Carnival Cruise Line.
Yes.
Leading
oh, yeah.
the way.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's another island that needs some help over in Hillsborough, Orange County Historical Museum.
Yes.
I saw an article in the paper today
yes.
saying that they are in dire need of people to help support them. So if you mm-hmm. haven't ever visited a great American historical museum, please do so. It has a warm place in my heart.
I was thinking about you earlier because I saw that article posted on Facebook, and
yeah.
someone as you do on social media, you're scrolling down your Facebook feed, and you see something, you're like, oh God, people think that. Someone responded, well, of course, the Orange County Historical Museum is having trouble. Nothing of historical significance ever happened in Hillsborough. I don't think they were kidding.
Oh
either.
My gosh.
Like, you cannot throw a rock in downtown Hillsborough without hitting something of historical significance. In fact,
thank
I'm not
you,
100%
yes.
sure you can throw a rock in downtown Hillsborough without clearing it with a historical commission first.
I think that's correct.
First.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think well there are 400 buildings in the historic district, and any exterior changes have to go through the historic district commission, like many historic district commissions all across the state. Because that's to preserve the historic nature.
Yep.
So if the Historic District Commission says, we want one of those shingles slightly off-center with three broken nails, that you have to do that.
You have to go
and,
through that process.
But
yeah.
luckily, it's not quite as arbitrary.
Including the Hillsborough, the Orange County Historical Museum itself, right?
Yes.
And the church right next door, because
right.
is that located on Lot 90?
That's right. That's 98. That's
98,
the, that's
thank
right.
you, yes.
And that we know from a map of 1768 made by French cartographer Claude Sautier, shows the location of certain buildings and significant places at that time. And the streets in the historic district of Hillsborough are still in the same places with the same street name.
Nice.
So where you have the old courthouse on King Street, that was named after King George III in his lifetime.
Yep.
I always thought we should invite the Queen and the grandchildren
we
over.
We should. I mean, it's worth a
stay
shot,
on our street,
right? We
yeah.
might as well, yeah.
We might as well. That might help be a good fundraiser
in
for
Queen
the museum.
Street, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. A good
awesome.
Event.
So go back, because we were talking about Lot 98, because we know
yes.
what it is, but Lot 98
okay.
is.
Lot 98
yeah.
is where the first St. Matthew's Church, it was one of the larger buildings, and in central North Carolina, before Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, there was Hillsborough.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the Constitutional Convention of 1788
the one
takes
that we were
place,
talking about earlier.
July
yep.
21st to August 4th. And that's this convention that's so pivotal to prodding Congress to take action on amending the Constitution.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and that original St. Matthew's is no longer there. There is a second St. Matthew's that's in town. But that lot and where the museum sits is a former public library that was built It went by the inauspicious name of the Confederate Memorial Public Library,
yes,
because of funds donated, and the word stayed up there until last year, and then the words finally came down. Yeah. So,
some of the words stayed the up words. Until last year.
But that's
yeah.
a good case of where yeah. there's a building that's that could be adjusted, but because of historic concerns, there it probably will not be adjusted the way it should to comply with certain
yep.
Standards. So,
speaking with Scott Washington, we're talking History Matters. We've only got a few minutes left, so
yeah.
What else happened this week in history?
There's always so much.
Sifting through all of these pages.
I know, and I'm thinking, okay, well, let's see. Here's a fun one. This is, we always like to have fun things. 1962, the Beverly Hillbillies debuted on CBS, and it was hated by the critics, but it quickly became number one, breaking many records, which I just found kind of astonishing. There was another one.
Such a bizarre show, too. There was so many bizarre shows in the 1960s. You got that one. You've got the Addams Family and the Munsters simultaneously. The Flintstones, the Jetsons. Hee-Haw comes later. Is Hee-Haw a ripoff of Laugh-In, or is Laugh-In a ripoff of Hee-Haw? I think Hee-Haw's a ripoff of Laugh-In, isn't it? I can't remember.
I think it's hard to say.
Beverly Hillbillies is great for at least one reason. Which is poor Buddy Ebsen, who lost his chance to be world famous when the Tin Man he was allergic to it and couldn't be the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. 25 years later, almost, he has to wait for his iconic role, but he finally gets it.
He does.
As Jed Clampett.
There was another one that came up this week, September 29th, 1953, is when a TV show aired starring Danny Thomas. And this one ran for 18 years. Now that's to 1971, all through the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And it was called Make Room for Daddy.
Honestly,
I don't think I've ever seen this.
No.
This kind of was like a surprise.
You got to be watching TV Land late for
that's
this.
Right. All of which is to say that what it covers history now is not just simply battles.
Mm-hmm.
It includes things that are that come up in the media.
That's cultural events.
That's cultural. Yeah. And that's just as important in shaping kind of our viewpoints of things as funny as they may be.
Well, that doesn't even begin with TV. I'm just scrolling down here. September 27th, so yesterday, 1922, the first 3D movie of all time.
That's right. Yes, where the red and blue glasses, and if you looked now, I'm not sure. I haven't confirmed this.
Yeah.
If you look through the red, you'd see a happy ending. If you look through the blue, I'm thinking, oh, now I can't. I don't even know much about that.
How does that work?
I don't think so.
If you close your eyes and you look through one lens, you get a happy ending, but if you look through the other lens, you get a sad ending?
Yeah, well, that's like the glass half empty or half full, I guess. Sometimes that's the way history gets interpreted, is which is the happy ending? All depends on where you stand.
Yes.
But these are important things and why we discuss it. And while we make light about some things, there is a seriousness that undergirds the study of history, and to try to uncover what's really happening, when, and why it matters. And that's what I think anybody who's interested in history does. And if it's told right, it's a great and compelling story for everyone.
Absolutely. History Matters. Scott Washington, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Aaron.